You are listening to The Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney. And each day, I'll be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of The Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you are blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings, we graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 136, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 2. Today, we will read from section number 3, Jesus in Ophrah, Salem, and Aruma. 1 hour to the southwest of Korea was the city of Ophrah, hidden among the mountains. Starting from Korea, the traveler had first to ascend and then to descend the mountain road. 1.5 hours at most westward from it, and on the north side of the desert at Betharon, toward the west, stood the mountain fortress of Alexandrium. Mount Gerizim lay on the northwest to the south, and west the plain just mentioned, and the mountains of the tribe of Benjamin. Mary often traversed this plain. Many lonely shepherd huts were scattered over it, and the city of Bethel was built on its confines. 3 high roads ran through Ophrah. Caravans from Hebron were constantly passing this way. Consequently, the whole place was made up of public inns and mercantile houses. The people were somewhat rude and greedy for gain. Once, during the preceding year, they had received a visit from some of Jesus' disciples, and since that, they had improved a little. At the moment of Jesus' arrival, the men in the place were busy gathering grapes in the vineyards that lined the road on either side, for a solemn festival was to begin that evening. The tabernacles were deserted, excepting by the children, the youths, and the maidens, who with banners were going through them processionally. The priests also were engaged, removing the prayer rolls and other holy things from the tabernacles to the synagogue, where they laid a prayer roll on every seat. I saw the women in their homes. They were dressed in their holiday robes and were praying from rolls of parchment. Jesus was espied by some men outside the gate. They went to him and conducted him into the city. They washed his feet and he took a little luncheon at an inn near the synagogue. After that, he visited several houses, healing the sick and giving instruction. That evening, the roll of the law was carried around in the school and everyone read a little of it. This ceremony was followed by a grand entertainment given in the public festive hall. I saw lambs on the table and the esrog apples, also that had been procured for the Feast of Tabernacles, were eaten. These apples were prepared with some ingredients. Each was cut into 5 parts, and these were again tied into one by a red thread. 5 persons ate of 1 apple. The viands had all been prepared by Sabbath servants, that is, by pagans who appeared to be in a kind of slavery. Next morning, Jesus went from house to house, exhorting the people to turn away from their avarice and love of gain, and engaging them to attend the instruction to be given in the synagogue. He saluted all with a congratulatory word on the close of the feast. The people of Ophrah were so usurious and unpolished that they were held in the same low esteem as the publicans. But they had now improved a little. That afternoon, the branches of which the tabernacles had been formed were brought processionally by the boys to the square in front of the synagogue, there piled in a heap and burned. The Jews watched with interest the rising of the flames, presaging from their various movements good or bad fortune. Jesus preached afterward in the synagogues, taking for his subjects the happiness of Adam, his fall, the promise, and some passage from Josué. He spoke also of too great solicitude for the things of life, of the lilies that do not spin, of the ravens that do not sow, and brought forward examples in the person of Daniel and Job. They, he said, were men of piety, engrossed in occupations, but still without worldly solicitude. Jesus was not entertained gratis in Ophrah. The disciples had to pay all expenses at the inn. While he and they were still there, a man from Cyprus came to see him. He had been to see John at Machaerus, 10 hours from Ophrah, and had been conducted hither by a servant of Zerubbabel, the centurion of Capernaum. He had been commissioned by an illustrious man of Cyprus to bring him some reliable news of Jesus, also of John, of whom he heard so much. The messenger did not tarry long at Ophrah. He left as soon as he had executed his commission, for a ship was in waiting to carry him. He was a pagan, but of a most amiable and humble disposition. The centurion's servant had, at his request, conducted him from Capernaum to John at Machaerus, and from the latter to Jesus. At Ophrah, Jesus conversed with him a long time, and the disciples put in writing before his departure all that he desired to know. One of the ancestors of his master had been king of Cyprus. He had received many Jews fleeing from persecution and had even entertained them at his own table. This work of mercy bore its fruit in one of his descendants, obtaining for him the grace to believe in Jesus Christ. In this vision, I had a glimpse of Jesus retiring after the coming Pasch to Tyre and Sidon, and thence sailing over to the island of Cyprus to announce his doctrine. From Ophrah, Jesus journeyed through the valley between Alexandrium and Labona to Salem. He descended through the forest of Hereth into the plain of Salem. Gardens and beautiful walks lay around the outskirts of the city, which was most delightfully situated. It was not very large, but cleaner and more regular than many others in this region, laid out in the form of a star, the points radiating from a fountain in the center. All the streets ran toward the fountain and were broken up by beautiful walks. The city at this period, however, had something in its appearance that bespoke decline. The fountain was regarded as sacred. It was once tainted like that near Jericho, but Eliseus had, like the one alluded to, purified it by casting into it salt and water in which the holy mystery had been immersed. The little edifice erected over it was very beautiful. In the center of the city and not far from the fountain arose a lofty castle, then in ruins. The large window casements, destitute of windows, nearby stood a high round tower. On its flat top, which was surrounded by a gallery, a flag was waving. At about 2/3 of the height of the tower projected 4 beams toward the 4 quarters of the world, upon which hung large polished globes that glittered in the sun. They faced 4 different cities, and were a sort of memorial of David's time. He had once sojourned here with Michal, and when obliged to flee into the land of Galad, he had, by means of these globes, received information from Jonathan concerning Saul and his movements against himself. The globes, by previous agreement, were hung sometimes this way, sometimes that, thus indicating by signs what was transpiring in those parts. Jesus was very well received. People whom he met near the harvest ricks accompanied him to the city, from which others were coming to meet him. They conducted him and the disciples to a house in which they washed their feet and provided them with sandals and garments until their own were dusted and cleaned. Travelers were often presented with the dress thus provided, but Jesus never accepted it as a gift. He generally had a change with him, of which one of the disciples took charge. The Salamites then took Jesus to their beautiful fountain and tendered to him the customary refreshments. There were gathered around the fountain numbers of sick of all kinds, so numerous that even the streets were lined with them. Jesus at once began to cure, passing quietly from one to another until nearly 4 o'clock, when he assisted at a dinner given at an inn, and thence proceeded to the synagogue to preach during the discourse. He spoke of Melchizedek, also of Malachias, who had once sojourned here and who had prophesied the sacrifice according to the order of Melchizedek. Jesus told them that the time for that sacrifice was drawing near, and that those ancient prophets would have been happy to have seen and heard what they now saw and heard. The people of Salem were of middle class, neither poor nor rich, but well-inclined and charitable toward one another. The doctors of the synagogue likewise were well-intentioned, but they were often visited by Pharisees from the neighborhood, to their own great annoyance, and that of the citizens. Salem enjoyed certain privileges. It had, under its jurisdiction, the district in its immediate vicinity, and other neighboring places. Jesus was especially kind to these people, and confirmed them in their good sentiments. On the morning of the next day, Jesus went an hour southeast of Salem to a nook between the Jordan and the little river that flows into it from Acrabas. There was a pleasure garden in this hilly region, also three fish ponds, one above another, each fed by the waters of the little river. There were also baths that could be warmed. Jesus was followed thither by many from the city. From this garden, Enon could be distinctly seen across the Jordan, whose opposite bank was full of promianders. Toward noon, all returned to the city and found assembled some of the Pharisees from Aruma. This city was situated on a mountain 2 hours west of Salem and about 1 hour northwest of the newly built city of Phasael, which lay almost hidden in a corner of the mountains. It was there the devout Jairus dwelt, whose daughter Jesus had not long ago raised to life. Among those Pharisees was a brother of Simon the leper of Bethania. He was one of the most distinguished Pharisees of Aruma. There were also some Sadducees present. They had all come as guests, for it was customary for the doctors of the law to visit one another during the days immediately following the Feast of Tabernacles. Some from other places, besides Aruma, were present also. A banquet was given in one of the public houses of Salem, at which Jesus and all the doctors assisted. The latter feared that Jesus was going to preach in Salem on the coming Sabbath. They did not relish the idea, since the inhabitants were already unfavorably disposed toward themselves. Therefore, Simon's brother invited Jesus to go to Aruma for the Sabbath, and Jesus accepted the invitation. Phasael was a new place at which Herod stopped when in that part of the country. The city was surrounded by palm trees, and a little stream took its rise in the neighborhood, thence flowing into the Jordan, almost opposite Succoth. The inhabitants appeared to be colonists. The city was built by Herod. This concludes our reading for today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. I think as we continue making our way through the writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich, you know, there's a depth of beauty of just seeing how things unfold. There's a beauty in the fact that you and I were able to go from place to place, village to village with Jesus, that we get such great descriptions of these places as well. We're seeing things, hearing things that, you know, we could have only wondered about had we not read this work now. So a few lines that just stand out. Next morning, Jesus went from house to house, exhorting the people to turn away from their avarice and love of gain, and engaging them to attend the instruction to be given in the synagogue. So Jesus went from house to house. he exhorted the people to turn away from avarice and love of gain. Maybe just as we think of Jesus asking people and telling them to come to, you know, his little presentation, if you will, as he's preaching and giving this message against avarice and love of gain. Well, if Jesus was going to go from house to house, if on the street that I live on, Jesus came and was walking on the sidewalk and he walked by my neighbors and he walked by my house, what would he be preaching today? What would be his message that he would share today? Would it be about avarice and love of gain? Would it be about some other aspect of our Christian life? Would Jesus have a personal message for me? Would Jesus say to me, this is what you need to turn away from? Jesus can tell us these things. I repeat this often, but simply sit before the Blessed Sacrament and ask the Lord, what do you want me to turn away from? And I'm willing to bet he's going to answer. And you're going to have an awareness then of what it is that the Lord God is speaking to your heart about. As we continue in the reading then, there was this individual. We hear about Zerubbabel, the centurion of Capernaum. We've met him already in the reading. He had been commissioned by an illustrious man of Cyprus to bring him some reliable news of Jesus, also of John, of whom he had heard so much. Well, if someone was commissioning you to bring news of Jesus, what would you bring them? Maybe just today we're looking at this from a very personal note, like, what is Jesus saying to me? What would I say about Jesus? Would I be caught up in trying to catch Jesus, spying on him in that sense? Or would I be trying to let everybody know about who Jesus is and what difference he makes in my life? This brings us to a close of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. Please share this podcast with others. Share it with your family, text it to your friends, send a message out to your prayer group, let them know you're listening, and encourage them to join you so that you can have holy conversations with them about these writings of Anne Catherine Emmerich. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you, and Mary pray for you.